Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I am Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton.
You know, one day I'm not going to be here, and what are you going to do then?
I'm going to still say that, and then I'm going to go into my imitation of you answering me.
I want to hear that.
And then I'm just going to continue the episode, just myself, pretending to be both of us.
Oh, I think it would work. You think you could sound like me?
No.
Okay. Because I can't sound like you. So, you know, when you were planning out this show and you sent me these talking points,
yeah.
And I just had a moment of genius.
You did.
I was like, you know what would be absolutely perfect? You had this. So you sent this titled The Challenge of Biblical Fatherhood. And We've talked about biblical fatherhood before, but I always love a chance to get a little deeper and stuff. And I thought it would be perfect if one of our dads worked with us so we could.
Yeah. I mean, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
That would. And luckily for us, your dad does work
with us.
So I was able to send him a message, and he agreed. And so I'm going to go ahead and take the – I don't get to welcome the guest a lot, so I'm going
welcome
to –
welcome the guest.
Oh, and I get to welcome Jeff Shambly.
Hey, good to be with you.
Good to be with you. I'm glad you were able to be on with us because I think we got some good perspectives here. We got – still in the early stages. I consider Jordan early stages.
Six
still
years
fatherhood.
In.
Yeah. Ish. Is he that old?
He's six now.
Anyways, and then Jeff, who obviously has children much older.
Yes.
And then we get to hear from someone who parented Jordan, so maybe we'll get some good Jordan stories.
We'll share those stories.
No, no, not the stories. I didn't think about that part. But yeah, this is Jeff, he is my dad. So I'll just refer to him as dad throughout. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So do you want to just give our listeners a little bit about yourself? You have previous history with AFA.
Yes.
You weren't here for a little while, and then you came back and you're doing something.
Well, I came to AFA in 1998 in the radio division and served as production director for a season of time. Actually was involved in the start of the Talk Network back in the day, and then moved over to video and became the director of American Family Studios for a number of years, produced some great documentaries, great team here. And then the Lord opened the door for me to serve again full-time in ministry, and so I left in 2019 and was associate pastor of music at a local Baptist church here in town. And then, you know, seasons come and they go, and I felt like it was time to move on to another area of ministry. And so thankfully this door opened back at AFA, and I've been back for all of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of settling into a new role.
An old newcomer or a new old timer, not sure how to put that. But yeah, so you have history here, but you're new here at the same time. It's interesting. But yeah, so you're working in actually the same kind of department that I am in. As a writer, I'm in The Stand, but you're doing something quite interesting.
Yeah, it's top secret. Yeah. We can't talk about it.
No,
I'm just kidding.
See, as I was saying, that was like sometimes things are a secret. And I don't know.
No, it's a new radio program that will air on the weekend, and we'll be unveiling that shortly. But we're developing that right now, so I'm very excited about it, though.
Yeah, so stay tuned for further developments on that.
Is it a 30-minute program? We may be getting a newsletter here for us. Like, by the way, we're shutting y'all down, and we have a replacement.
Look, it would be a good replacement. I'll say that.
Honestly, I would. You know, maybe. Sad, but I wouldn't be mad at you.
So again, we're talking about the biblical fatherhood, and obviously this is something that in our demographic that we address here in Share Truth Plus Scripture, we try to talk about issues and questions that young Christians are facing. When we say young Christians, that's like, you know, just leaving high school to about mid-30s, so I'm kind of in that. I'm
going to
bump
there.
That up as I get older.
Yeah,
as the young Christians.
Like in a few years, 40s, I'm like, we're going to say 40s.
Fatherhood, I think, is one of those topics because there's a lot of young Christian men who are either thinking about having children or do have children right now, and they did not have a biblical example of fatherhood set for them growing up. I feel like fatherlessness, we've been tracing this trend, you know, here at AFA for a long time, is just, you know, it's becoming increasingly more and more common. And with fatherlessness, of course, you don't even have an example of fatherhood, let alone mm-hmm. biblical fatherhood. And so I feel like this is a very important thing to talk about. So, Dad, from your perspective, and you've studied this for a long time and obviously put it into practice, what does the Bible, what are some of the core commands for fathers given to us in the Scriptures?
Well, I think, first of all, you start with the Creator himself. Mm. Who reveals himself as him and who reveals himself as our Father in heaven. And so I think everything that the Bible illustrates, you draw out of that. And so obviously Deuteronomy says a lot about training children at all times of the day and setting an example. And of course, the focus there is the law of the Lord. You're teaching and training children about who God is. And I think that's a central part of real biblical fatherhood. But let me say this too. I think that in our day, and it was true when I was a young father, there were always the pressures to do everything perfectly and do everything right. And I think today, when everyone can be a publisher in their own right, I mean, we all have cell phones and the internet is filled with Christian examples of young men who are writing books, and the temptation can feel like, you know, I'm none of that and I can't do it right. Yeah. And so there's a lot of pressure to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. And I don't think fatherhood is intended to be that complicated.
Right.
And so, and even back in the day, you know, when you were a small boy, we were homeschooling and just started out for several years, and we had a lot of high ideals of things that we really wanted to do in our family, and some good goals, but some very high goals.
Yeah.
And the temptation there was you never really meet those goals. You never really attain to the height that you have in your imagination. And that can be discouraging.
Yeah.
And it can cause people to despair a little bit or to throw in the towel altogether. And I think it's just not meant to be that difficult. God gives us the plan. He certainly gives us his own example of what a father needs to be and looks like. So I would just say keep it simple.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that complicated. We have an entire book called Proverbs that teaches us how we are to raise children. And so you don't need the expert. You know, we have the Word of God.
That's good.
And grace. We have the grace of God. When we do err, we repent and ask for forgiveness.
That's so good, because I get on Twitter as a you know, 30-year-old man with children, and the internet, of course, knows this about me. And so the things that pop up on my timeline are things that are, you know, directed to that demographic. And I see here are the five things that they don't want you to know about how to be an effective man, or here are the habits that you need to introduce into your lifestyle in order to be a good dad and stuff like that. And it's like, there's all sorts of hacks out there. There's all sorts of people and voices telling you, no, do this thing that apparently the doctors don't want you to know about, and you're going to be just the embodiment of, you know, pure fatherliness. But that, like you said, it isn't that complicated. It's very simple. And I think that's one of the things, too, about anything, you know, theologically, about anything about Christian living, I guess, is that it's very simple. It doesn't mean that it's easy.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and I think sometimes the simpler something can be, it makes it, you know, there's more of a challenge there, because it's not something that you can just, you know, there's a chore list. You just hit these, you check these things off of your list. But this is something that every day you have to wake up and be intentional about, because it's that simple. You have to pay attention to it. Yeah.
Well, you know, your older sister is 39.
Oh, yeah.
And so we've had, you know, you were the firstborn son. We've had four boys, three girls. Oldest is 39. She's Lauren, 39. Our youngest is still at home, Cademan, your little brother. He's 14. And so, you know, in all of those years, I think I could write a pretty big book on what not to do.
Okay.
You know, I really do think I could I could write a nice book on what not to do.
Yeah.
But I think that's the wonderful thing about following the Lord is there's abundant grace. And you know, I found that just being open to being corrected gently by the Lord is valuable.
Yeah.
And always coming back to his word. Yeah. But anyway, there's a lot of things that we would do again if we had to do all over again.
Yeah.
There were some things we'd do a little differently. But I think men in particular run off of a to-do list. Mm. You know, inside our head, we have this, our goals, we have our agendas, and we run the house as if, you know, point one, you got to check that box. Point number two, okay, check it off. Number three, we want to fix things and move on to the next goal. And there's where I would say, you know, pull back just a little bit, slow down. And make simple goals and simple rewards to go with those achievements.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, let's get into some specifics.
Because
how do we apply this, especially as dads? And, you know, not every family is a single income family. There's a lot of families where both parents go off and work and they have to do that. But in some families, you know, or most families, I would say the father is the one who goes and works and brings home the means of living. So how do we put this into practice when me as a dad, I'm not home with my children right now? You know, how do I make sure that I am really balancing that work-life balance, I guess, and discipling my children effectively in the limited time that I have with them on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I've learned in the last 15 years, 20 years, is a simple phrase called be present.
Mm.
Be present. And I'll just give you my own personal example. You know, I come home and your mother it can look in my eyes and know that I'm not, I may be in the room, but mentally, I am somewhere else, and I'm probably thinking about what has to be done.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about what I should be doing.
Yeah.
And so how do you make the most of your time? Just be present.
Mm.
So when someone is talking to you, put the to-do list out of your mind, look at them in the eye, and concentrate on what they're saying, and listen to them so that you can, you know, so that you can help them to understand that you are listening, and then to respond in a helpful way. So I would say that's first thing, is that when you are at home in your limited time, you need to really be home mentally and not just bodily. So that's a lesson that I've had to learn, and I've, you know, had to correct some behavior and some things like that. And I think it's good, but I think that's common to all men.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Now, I've seen some men talk about, you know, well, whether they're making excuses for just doing what they want to do or this is just a legitimate concern in their lives where it's like, well, I have all these duties that I have to accomplish and I don't have time for family time. Well, the Bible actually speaks to that in Deuteronomy 24:5. Now, again, this is ancient Hebrew law and you can go into whether or not that actually applies to us. But I do think it speaks to God's heart for fatherhood. And the verse says, when a man is newly married, he shall not go out with the army or be liable for any other public duty. He shall be free at home 1 year to be happy with his wife whom he has taken. And so obviously this is not just for children. It's for the wife too, that God really places a lot of importance on a man being a part of his own family and not just I have a family, but I'm out there being sort of a free agent, sending the cash home so that they can survive, but I'm doing my thing. I'm doing my duty, or I'm following my own, you know, what it desires. A man's place, I mean, kind of to take a popular phrase and turn it around a little bit, a man's place is in the home, in a very real way. A man's place is with his family, and unfortunately, I think that our culture for many, many years— for both parents, really, has been taking them out of the family, taking them out of the home, and in a way that I believe is contrary to God's vision for family.
Yeah, I think the good news is that we're talking about that now. And 50 years ago, I don't know that that would have even come into the conversation.
Yeah.
I think that that was taken for granted. Of course, the man is going to be out and doing and providing. And that is not to take away from that, because the Bible is very,
absolutely,
very serious about a man who does not provide for his family.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's important. I think it's important to be involved and to be home and to make the most of your time.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a level of pressure that I'm single, so I guess that falls on me, but I'm only worried about me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but a man takes on a wife and they start having children. That's a whole new level of pressure. And men are built to shoulder that, to make sure that the wife and the children are taken care of financially, that they're well, that they're fed. When something breaks down, it's their, you know, they're the ones that have to, it's their duty to fix it. And I think over time, you just kind of get used to that. Mm-hmm. And so when you were talking about how, you know, you're there, you're present physically, but mentally you're thinking of all the things. I started thinking of my dad. Mm-hmm. He's always thinking of something he needs to be doing, something that needs to be fixed.
Some man thing.
Yeah. He needs to go out and do this. Yeah. The times that we've gone, we've taken family trips and taken my nephews and my niece. We took them to the zoo. And my dad and my sister's father-in-law, like, we brought everybody, both mm-hmm. sides, and they're, like, thinking about, man, we could be doing this right now the whole time and stuff. But you just get used to thinking, like, man, I've got all this stuff to do at home, then I have to go to work and make money to make sure that I can pay for the home and stuff. And so, I mean, that's a lot of
pressure. It is, but those things all go away. I mean, at the end of your life, no one is going to remember how many hours you worked in a given week. I mean, one of the things that we used to do, Jordan, I remember when we would go to the landfill, we would take it. We would take a truckload of garbage.
We had a lot of trash.
We had a lot of garbage.
We made a lot of trash.
So we would go, and I made a point of you and your brother, once we got there, saying, look around, and you see all of these water heaters and dryers and all of these appliances. I said, that was one day brand new, and somebody worked a long time to pay for that and took a lot of time maybe and away from their family, and now it's junk. Mm-hmm. So just to keep in mind, look, what our priorities are. And again, I would say we have everything that we need in the scripture. Yes. I mean, between what we have in the epistles, what we have in throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, everything to be a good husband, a good wife, a good father, we have all the instruction that we need, and we have grace from God to do it. So I think that's the good news.
I mean, what's the name of this program?
Share Truth Apply Scripture.
Share Truth Apply Scripture. Oh, yeah. And I think we kind of loop back around in every episode. Mm-hmm. It's like be in the Word.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Be in the
Word
every day, because we probably could just simply end it. Like, give us like a 1 minute spot. We're just like, here's what we have to say about this. Read the Bible. You know? And that's where, you may get tired of hearing it, but I'm not going to stop saying it.
Well, I'm glad it happens, because we're just showing that all of these things about the Christian life, it all goes back to that root, is, you know, the spending time with God, and not just in the Bible, but in prayer too, and with other believers as well. All of these means of grace that we have is vital. It's not just important. It's necessary to be doing all these. So we kind of talked about family in general and kids. What about the wife? So fathers, you know, unless you're a single dad, usually there's a wife in the picture. And the Bible has clear commands about how a man is to treat his wife. And so one of these commands is from Ephesians 5, is for a husband to love their wives as Christ loved the church, love the wives as they love their own body. How can we translate that for a young father, a young husband, who maybe didn't have that example in their life?
That's a good question. I think that it's important for him to be visible in loving and cherishing his wife, especially in front of the children. I really do think that that's important. I mean, children are going to pick up with what they're going to imitate the way that dad treats his wife. You know, they're going to respond to their mother in that way. And so when the dad respects his wife and stops, doesn't talk over her and lets her talk, and if there's any disagreement, we go out of the room. We go into another room and we discuss things, but we never attempt to solve issues in front of children. I just think that that's never helpful. It's, you know, sometimes that happens, but if at all possible. But I think showing visibly love and respect and understanding for the wife, while at the same time being a leader of the home. And sometimes that's very difficult to do, but again, God gives us grace.
Yeah, absolutely. And the scripture that I was referencing, for those of you who want to look it up, is Ephesians 5, 25 through 31. So some very explicit commands on how a husband is to treat his wife. But it's not just for practical reasons, although the practical is important. I mean, this is a picture of something, a greater truth.
Yeah, you hit right on it, Jordan. Let me just jump in. It's about Christ and the church. Yes. It's the picture of Christ washing the disciples' feet. And that's been a very helpful picture to me as a husband to go back to that, because there was a time that I didn't realize that. I thought, well, I'm just the breadwinner, or I'm the leader, I'm the man in the house, or whatever. But when you look at biblical leadership, Mm-hmm. It involves servanthood, and Christ illustrated what it was like to lay down what was rightfully his to serve and to minister to his family. And so I think you hit on a great point.
Mm. Yeah.
And just to go one step further, mm-hmm. to love someone as Christ loved the church is to be willing to die for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that seems pretty strong, mm-hmm. but that's what Christ did mm-hmm. for us.
Yeah.
He died for us, a horrible, painful death.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way you should love the person that you're married to.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about sons? So in our culture, there is, I mean, and here at AFA, we talk about this quite often, you know, recently, I think this has been more of an issue, but there's this sort of attitude towards being a man, being masculine in our culture. It's seen as a negative thing. And there's pressure put on men to suppress parts of themselves, I guess.
Yeah.
And some parts, sure. Yeah, I understand that there may be issues with some people, with some certain influencers even. But for men in general, it can be a challenge to live in this culture as a biblically masculine man. And it's going to be even more challenging for fathers today. And I'm thinking, myself, I have a 1 6-year-old son, and the pressures of, you know, I haven't really directly faced them because most of the circles that I'm in are very Christian circles. But I can't imagine a Christian father out there who has a son who's not in those, you know, in that environment, with all those voices telling him this is how you should raise your boy. So, how can fathers teach their sons to be godly men? I mean, what are the most important things that they need to be thinking about?
I think men respond to good examples.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we did and continue to do at home is to read to the children stories and illustrations of godly men mm-hmm. and women.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we get, of course we have daughters as well.
Yeah.
We want to read all of those things. For example, Bob Schultz mm-hmm. is an author that we have read a lot. A couple of his books, Created for Work.
Yeah.
Practical Happiness
mm-hmm.
and Boyhood and Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom would say that she has benefited from those books as much as the boys, and so have the girls.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be one thing, is set good examples for them, spend time reading
mm-hmm.
And instilling those examples in their hearts.
Yeah, and you talked a little bit about daughters. So I do think that there is a special relationship between a father and daughters.
Yeah.
It is very different. I don't know. For those of you who have maybe sons or daughters, but not both, it's a very different paradigm. It really is. Girls are way different than boys. I mean, the way I relate to my son is very different than the way I relate to my daughters. So it's all fun. But there, with that special relationship, obviously we can't set the example of biblical womanhood to them. But I think that the input of a father into the life of a daughter is very important when it comes to shaping what that looks like for them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe what are some ways that a man can approach that? He wants a father who wants to build his daughters up in biblical womanhood, knows he can't be that example, but he still wants to invest in that. What are some ways that he can do that?
Well, I think to be the example of the kind of man you want her to marry, you know, if you want to treat her in the way that she expects to be treated when she is a grown woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so you treat her with respect, and obviously age appropriate along the way. I mean, if you've got a daughter who's 5 and a daughter who's 16, there are different things.
Yeah.
Obviously, when they're younger, they fall into the same category of discipline and training.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond, say, 13, 14, 12 in this day and age,
mm-hmm.
You want to treat them as young women
mm-hmm.
and with respect and training them what to expect from a godly man.
Mm.
I think that would be important. And train your sons to be that man.
Yeah.
The kind of man that you want your daughter to marry.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think to be conscious of those things is good.
And
yeah.
treat your wife
mm-hmm.
the way you would want your daughter to expect her husband to
yeah.
treat her.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
That's See, it. That's the thing. So family really is sort of this, like, it's just a kind of a, I mean, to get kind of philosophical or kind of nerdy with, it's a microcosm of culture. It really
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
And like, how we learn how to relate to people starts with how we learn how to relate to each other in a family.
Yeah.
And that's a really amazing thing about how God designed family, is that every little ingredient is there in this you know, design to for people to go out into the world and know how to interact with other people and to, you know.
Yeah, it's one thing to read to me about something. It's another thing to show me.
Yeah.
And so I think we all imitate the people that we're around that we admire. And I think setting those good examples is just the top priority.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think a lot of our conversation boils down to spend time in scripture, spend time with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I mean, and then that's simple. Mm-hmm. And you could break that apart all kinds of ways. But really, I mean, every moment that you spend with each other is investing in who your child is going to be one day, investing in how your relationship with your spouse is going to be in the future. So you spend time with your wife all these years, loving on her and stuff, and now all this time later, you've got, you know, y'all are stronger than ever. Yeah. Not saying that y'all don't ever fight. I'm sure there are times she probably cuts her eyes at you and you cut your eyes at her, and you're like, we'll talk about this in a little bit, you know. but y'all have that strong front. Y'all are strong in the Lord. So
yeah, and you worship together. You know, dads, this is a key thing. Open the Word of God at night. You don't have to give a sermon. You don't have to preach. Open up the Word before bed, and let's read a verse. Let's pray together.
Exactly.
Again, you're setting a godly example. Play games together. Play dominoes, cards, or whatever you do.
Yeah.
Turn the screens off. Sit down at the table just for a few minutes.
Minecraft, but
and just well, you know, that could be a game. But I think that's what we do at home. But I think those things have always helped.
Yeah. Well, we've talked a lot about setting examples, and I think that's a good place to stop because for me and in my experience, as short as it's been, parenting and fatherhood has been more about self-discipline, has been more about the changing that happens to me through the process. And, you know, the discipline for my children, the training for my children is almost a byproduct of that. And so there's a lot of... You're wanting to there's conforming yourself to the pattern of Christ, and from that comes godly fatherhood. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode, guys. Thank you so much for being with us, Dad.
My pleasure.
It's been
Thank
great.
You.
And until next week, everybody, keep sharing truth and applying scripture.